Oh, that was good. Drowning in front of everybody. So. Titled the message today, Raising a Samuel. And Hannah lived in a day that was very similar to the days in which we live today. She lived during the time, the Bible tells us, where the judges ruled Israel. And we're told, you don't have to turn there, but we're told from the last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Sounds like today, doesn't it? No one believes in truth anymore, and their truth is what they believe. Eli was a judge and priest in Israel when Hannah birthed Samuel. We know this from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 1 Samuel chapter 4. He was derelict as a father and priest and judge, because the Bible tells us in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel that his sons were wicked. They were even called sons of the devil. And they were the priesthood of the time. And they did unmentionable things in chapter 2. The lamp of God went out in the tabernacle, under his watch. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. The light that was supposed to eternally burn went out on his watch. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines on his watch. 1 Samuel 4:11. So here is a man, Eli, who is a judge, who is a priest, who is a father. And nothing is said good of him in any of those categories. He's a terrible father, a terrible priest, and a terrible judge. Israel was in a bad way from the top down, so similar to us in America today. But God was about to change that all with the birth of one boy. One boy. Spiritual and national revival was about to come because one woman prayed unto the Lord for a son, and God answered that prayer in a very mighty way. Moms, you need to start praying and raising Samuels. Maybe you have girls. Well, then raise Hannah's. But we need these kind of young people in our world today who are totally and thoroughly dedicated to God because their parents are. And so my challenge today from the message is, let's raise some Samuels. Look at the first point with me. Follow along as I read verses 1 to 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. A mom's need of grace. A mom's need of grace. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 1 to 8. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? A mom's need of grace. The name Hannah means grace. And Hannah had a very difficult home life. Elkanah, her husband, had another wife. And this wife, Peninnah, had children. And Hannah had no children. And as we see, Peninnah even mocked Hannah for being barren. And Hannah lived during a time of great spiritual apostasy. Hannah could not enjoy her pilgrimage and worship. It is recorded earlier in the Bible that yearly, three times a year, there were times that Israel needed to go at this time where the tabernacle was, to Shiloh, later to Jerusalem, but they needed to go there yearly to worship the Lord. And the family was obedient to that, and they went. But she couldn't enjoy her pilgrimage and worship. And Hannah's husband did not understand her needs. Because he says there at the end, you know, aren't I better than 10 sons? I'm sure she loved him. But you know, it's very important in the culture of that day to have children, and not only children, but to have boys. There was the messianic hope and just a very different society than we have today. But just as Hannah, and her name means grace, and just as Hannah needed grace, moms today need grace. Moms today need a lot of grace. Amen? Many have difficult home lives. Many husbands don't understand their wives' spiritual needs. And today, just like then, we live in a land of spiritual apostasy. And there's so many similarities between the land of Israel at this time and our land. So point number one, a mom needs grace. Point number two, a mom needs faith. A mom's need of faith. Look at verse 9 with me, please. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hannah had faith. Hannah was in great sorrow. And as it says there in verse 10, and in her great sorrow, what does she do? She brings her burden to the Lord. Ladies, when you are men, but in particular ladies this morning, when you are in great sorrow, that is the time to bring your burden to the Lord. What a better place to go and a better one to go to than the Lord with that burden. And during this great burden and during this time of prayer, she makes a vow. And she basically said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you, and he will be dedicated to you his whole life long. Interesting phrases in this passage where it talks about no razor will touch his head. This comes from Numbers chapter 6. We won't turn there, but in Numbers chapter 6, the whole chapter speaks about the vow of the Nazarite. And he will be a Nazarite his whole life long. He'll never cut his hair, his beard. He'll never drink any wine. Can't come upon dead people. He will all of his life be dedicated 100% to the Lord. And as she's praying in silence and bitterness of her own soul, Hannah was misunderstood. Because of Eli's lack of spiritual insight, he thought she was drunk. And isn't it kind of ironic that he calls her a daughter of Belial when his sons are that? Hannah had to explain she was praying. She was pouring out her soul to God. Isn't it sad when people can't see your sorrow? They accuse you of something else. But Hannah left her burden with the Lord. And she had faith that the Lord had heard her and that he would answer. And it says, she went her way, she ate, her countenance was no more sad. She left her burden with the Lord. Friends, that's hard to do. You know, a lot of times we pray, we lay our burdens down and we give them to the Lord. And then when we get up, we pick those burdens up again and carry them with us. We need to learn to leave them with the Lord. Hannah left them with the Lord. In her bitterness, she leaves her sorrow with the Lord. But how does this apply to us today? Well, moms, today need a lot of faith. You know, we don't only need faith when we come to know the Lord as our Savior. What does the Bible say of that faith? It's childlike faith. But as we begin to grow in our faith and we begin to grow and mature and maybe you were saved at a young age and now you have children, you need a lot of faith. You know, that little childlike faith winds up being we need wheelbarrows full of faith. Moms today need a lot of faith. Mom, what is your sorrow? What is your sorrow this morning? Think in your heart. What is your sorrow this morning? Do you, like Hannah, bring your sorrows to the Lord? Or do you carry them alone? She left them with the Lord. Mom, have you made a vow to the Lord? If you have, how is that going? You know, sometimes spiritual moms are misunderstood. And moms, you need to pour out your soul to the Lord in prayer. In particular, with the raising of our children. Moms, you need to pour out your soul to the Lord in prayer. Every day that the Lord tarries, our culture, our world gets worse and worse. And just when you wake up and you hear something and you say, it can't get any worse, guess what? It does. If the Lord tarries, our kids are going to live in a world very different from the world we grew up in. Moms, dads, you need to pray. You need to beg God for His grace. You need to exercise faith in God and His Word and believe His Word. Mom, after you have prayed, you then need to leave your burden with the Lord. But then a mom needs to be obedient. So here's Hannah, given grace by God to endure a difficult home life, given faith by God to believe His Word and praying. But then, what happens? A mom needs to be obedient. Hannah worshipped and returned home. Look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord, what? Remembered her. The Lord remembered her. In Hannah's sorrow and grief, she worships. She prays and she worships. And as she prays and she worships, she goes home, she goes about life. I'm sure she's still praying. It's not recorded, but she's still praying. And God what? Remembers. Isn't that a great phrase? And the Lord remembered her. Hannah's prayer was answered. Look at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So, she has a son. Not just a child, she has a son. And she names him Samuel, which means asked. And if you go deeper into the Hebrew meaning of the word, it literally means lent of the Lord. You're going to see something, a play on words here in a moment at the end of the chapter. But look at verses 21 to 23. Hannah stays to nurture her son. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So Elkanah agreed with his wife. And he said, he asked God to establish his word with this child. So here we see a united home. I'm not going to get into the divided home in the sense of, why in the world did he have two wives? I'm not going to get into that this morning, okay? But here, with the vow that Hannah had made, Elkanah agreed. The Lord established his word. He agreed, okay? He agreed with her. And when was a Hebrew child weaned? That's a good question. I wasn't around back then. I'm old, but not as old as some here. I won't mention his name, but he's sitting in the back row. But, scholars say anywhere from 3 to 5 years old. Basically, it was when a child could eat regular food on his own. So, let's assume it's the far side of that and it's 5 years. Hannah didn't have Samuel very long. But she made a vow. And Hannah makes good on her vow. Look at verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now that word lent, if I lend you something, you know, I expect it back. That's not what the meaning of this word here. It literally means delivered. I'm delivering him now to the Lord. She brings her young child to the tabernacle to worship. And she presents Samuel as the answer to her prayer. As his name states, she is lending him or returning him to the Lord. And Samuel also worshiped. He was young, the Bible says. He was a young child. But he knew what was before him. What must their home life have been those 5 years? Think Hannah wasted any time? I don't think so. You know, friends, Sandy and I are on the backside, the emptiness side of raising our kids. And I can tell you, and many of you here, same thing, can talk by experience, that even if you have your kids for 18, 20 years, it goes by fast. Very fast. And you turn around and they're gone. There's no time to waste. And moms today need to be obedient. Moms, you need to worship and pray. Moms, you need to see your prayers answered. Moms, you also need to nurture your children in the Lord. Moms, you need to make good on your vows and promises. Now, none of us know when the Lord is going to come, but wouldn't it be great if the Lord would raise up from His people an army of Samuel and Hannahs to be sold out for God? Moms, pray for your sons to change the course of our nation, to fill pulpits, to preach the gospel, to preach sanctification, to preach the type of messages that bring about revival. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Look at verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Is it possible for our children to bring change? Yeah. You know the story. Eli, God no longer was speaking to him. And it took him 3 times to realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe God's speaking to that little boy. And Samuel had to tell Eli a message that was tough. He had to say, God's done with you and your family. One little child changed the course that Israel was on. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God was not speaking to the nation of Israel because of their wickedness. Just turn the page. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Guess what God started doing again? Speaking. In verse 6, the Lord called Samuel. In verse 8, the Lord called Samuel. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called at other times. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan in the north, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. A little boy who had a faithful mom who believed God and prayed and asked for grace and faith. And then guess what? She was obedient. She was obedient. Can your boy change the course of history? What's the answer to that question? Yeah. Because God can do it. Just think back in history of things that have happened because somebody believed. Is it possible that God could still use just one Samuel today, and I don't want to leave out moms that are raising girls, or just one Hannah today? You know, Hannah was faithful. Samuel was faithful. Is it possible that God could still use just one Samuel today? I say yes. I want to close with a passage on the total other end of Israel's history. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel is in the after the book of Psalms. It's after Isaiah and Jeremiah. At the beginning of Israel's history, in particular, just before Israel became a nation which had a king. Of course, we know Samuel was the last. Not only was he a priest, not only was he a prophet, but he was the last of the judges. And we transition from Samuel to the kings. Samuel anointed Saul. And because of Saul's disobedience, Samuel then anointed David to be king. And Samuel dies. And so here at the beginning of the history of Israel, Israel is in a bad way spiritually. Eli and his sons are the priest. Eli is the judge. And the enemies come and they even capture the ark. And it's a time of total apostasy. Now, flip side. We go through the faithful kings and we go through the divided kingdom and Israel in the north is taken captive already and Judah and Benjamin are taken captive and Ezekiel lives at a time of great apostasy at the end of Israel's history. And look what God says in Ezekiel 22, starting in verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things and have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. That means common. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening to prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now notice how sick Israel was once again from the top to the bottom. He mentions the prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. Israel was sick from the top to the bottom. Every part of the culture, America today is sick. From the White House to the house on Main Street. And everything in between. We have prophets and priests who don't know the difference between the holy and the profane. And look at verse 30. And I sought for, what's the next two words? A man. Among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And notice these sad words. But I found none. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You reap what you sow. But isn't it interesting that God told Ezekiel, I sought for a man. In the beginning, God used a boy who grew to be a man who brought revival to Israel. God looked for that man. And there were times when you read through the late history of Israel, a good king would come, a good priest would come, revival would come, and the enemies would be defeated. But the tide could not be held back. You know why America today is not as bad as it could be? Because of the church, the true church. We need to be on our knees every day begging God for men who would stand up and who would proclaim the truth, who would preach the gospel. You know how you change a society? Not by laws, by the gospel, by people getting saved. And people who are enemies now become friends. People don't need to change political parties. Somebody, I'm no longer a Democrat, I'm a Republican. Great. What did that do? Nothing. You change your heart. Now, that does not mean you become a Christian, you become a Republican. You should become an independent. No, that's a story for another. But, you change a society from the inside out. Moms, your job is so very important. Because predominantly you spend the most time with kids. What are you teaching your children? I hope you're teaching them how to read and write and do math and all those things. That's important. But you need to teach them that you're not mine. God gave you to me. And I'm going to give them back. And I'm going to give you back. And I want him to use you. One. It only takes one. Could you imagine if there were a church full of Hannahs and Samuels here? There is. There can be. But we have to do our part. Can't be like Penina. I got all the kids. You don't. Can't be like Elkanah. Oh dear, isn't my love good enough? No. Need a boy. And train that boy and pray for that boy. And talk to that boy and talk to that girl. And ask God for grace because we need it. Ask God for mercy. And ask him to use your child. Be light and salt, and to bring the change that this world needs. Let's pray.